to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water, and the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Let's pray. Dear Father, as we read these events unfolding, we are getting a prelude, and we're able to see it before it happens, of this great event that's going to happen. Being warned that it will happen someday. We're being warned as well to prepare for it. Not that we necessarily will go through it. I believe that the church that exists today will already be raptured out, but there are evangelists that have already been sent out at this point to make new believers and others that will come to the Lord. And so what we see is that regardless of where we fall out in this history that you have planned, we know that this is going to happen, so how do we live in a way that's prepared and ready? Ready for that trumpet blast that will call your church up, ready for your appearing and being caught up together, ready for these dreadful events that will also come upon the earth. How do we help others to be ready? Lord, I pray that you would just bless us to be able to see. And bless us as we break this area of Scripture down and look at these first few verses. Help us to understand the importance of all of this. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all have a seat. So as we look here, there's a silence in heaven for 30 minutes. So what does heaven look like in every other picture that we see where we get to sneak peeks into heaven? We see that heaven is bustling with worship constantly. We see that angels are worshiping God, and the 24 elders, you know, are falling down and worshiping God. We see singing going on in every depiction of heaven throughout the Bible. We see God being lifted up in worship. And then when we see this time for the seventh seal, when he opened it, it caused there to be a silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And some would say, well, you know, there's a lot of different thoughts on this. And really what I think it is that there's a time that's being unveiled and opened at this point. There's a seal that's being taken off that's opening the door for something that's going to happen that is so dreadful and important. It means that there's an anticipation for this point of no turning back. This point whenever God's wrath is being poured out on the earth in a whole new way. And I think that there's an anticipation there of the severity of these next seven trumpet judgments. It's huge. You know, once we enter into that moment whenever God says, "It's enough, I'm returning," there's no turning back, there's no stopping it. There's, you know, we're going through the book of Jeremiah right now in our evening services, and something that I keep finding in the book of Jeremiah was that they had judgment ahead of them from Babylon, and God still was calling them and saying, if you will repent even now, I would hear your repentance. I think it's so important that we understand that any time judgment is being proclaimed, the right posture to take is one of repentance. As his people, have we sinned, church? Do we sin? Let us acknowledge that before God and repent. It is the proper posture. As we look at our nation right now, we are proud of things as a nation that God hates. We are seeing things unfolding around the world that could mean that we are very quickly being hurled toward this point of judgment that we are reading about. What would be the proper posture? So we could say, well, it's going to happen. There's nothing we can do about it. But is that really how we want to stand before God, or should we not rather want to stand before God, a repentant people, saying, Lord, we know that we've sinned. Please forgive us. Please help us to be in a right place with you so that we can point others to you. If we knew that we would be thrust into this time in 2025, if we knew that day or the hour, how would we prepare for it? Would we say, let's just live it up because we know that the last day is coming on this particular date? I think that's why Jesus didn't tell us the date. Because it's kind of our human nature to be that way. Or should we not rather have the attitude that, man, this is a severe thing that's about to happen, and so let us be really intentional at helping others to be prepared as we prepare ourselves. You know, I always think of people that get news that they may be, you know, really badly ill, and they know that maybe the end of their life is nearing. Every day and every moment and every decision that they make starts to become much more important. Wouldn't you say? It's like, I may only get one more time to say I love you to my wife. I only may only get one more time to say I love you to my children. How would you treasure that time? We need to live every moment like that. We truly do. So when we see that he opened that seventh seal, there was this silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I believe in that next couple slides there, this is an anticipation of the severity of those seven trumpet judgments. In the second verse of Revelation, it says, I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. When each one of these trumpets are blown, it announces a new level of judgment, a different area of destruction. And so I really believe that what we're seeing here in chapter 8 of Revelation is part of what Peter was talking about in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. On that next slide, there you go. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are preserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. He continues on there, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. He continues on in verses 11 through 13. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? You see, we can read all of this in Revelation and we can think, boy, that's really going to be terrible. We can think, man, that's so terrible and scary. I don't even want to read it. I don't want to think about it. But instead, what Peter does is he shows us kind of the same picture, and he brings it to a proper conclusion. He says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you and I to be in holy conduct and godliness? That's a proper response to knowing that judgment is ahead of us. You know, I think what he's saying is, we put all that emphasis on our car. We put all of our emphasis on this house. We put all of our emphasis on all these worldly things. But guys, it's going to burn. That's what he's saying. And so because we know that's true, and of course we need these things, and it's proper to put some of our energy into them, but we got to make sure we're not putting all of our energy into them. Amen? What do we really need to be putting the bulk of our energy into is the things that are eternal. Since we know these things are true, since we know all these things are going to be burned and dissolved, what manner of persons ought we be to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So for us, that ushers in something better. Amen? So let's be preparing for that. Let us be putting our treasures in heaven. Let us be putting the bulk of our energy in, the thrust of our lives, into helping other people come to know Jesus. Amen? You know what? One thing that I think about whenever I think about heaven that just, you know, prepares me for it, and I try to concentrate on this one thing, is that I will be able to not only be with Jesus, but I'm going to be able to see him face to face. Preparing for that day when I stand before him. I dream of that. I think about that. I want to be prepared for that. But you know what the second thing I think about is all of you. I think about my children, my grandchildren. It's such an honor to do this baby dedication today. These beautiful little granddaughters are like way beyond anything in my greatest imagination could have ever been like. They're beautiful and they're precious. A lot of people, you know, talk about their children growing up and getting married like they kind of almost are afraid of that, but our children getting married have been like that's been the coolest surprise to me. Not only have we gained, you know, these beautiful daughters-in-law as well, and now a son-in-law, but their families as well are now connected with us. We have grandchildren together that we get to pour into and love on together. It brings us closer. And you know what? When I look at them, there's not one of them that I want to say, I don't mind if I don't see them in heaven. You see, every last one of them are the treasures that I want to see there. And so I want to pour the thrust of my life, since I know all these things are true, since I know all this is going to be burned up, God's going to burn away the dross, and he's going to bring out of it a pure gold. What kind of life should I live? With that in mind, a life of holy conduct and godliness where I'm looking at the things that are eternal. Because I know that for us, we can look forward to a new heavens and a new earth. Amen? One where only righteousness dwells. Oh, how I long for that day. How I long for the day when I no longer will be sinful. When I will actually be perfected. I'm not going to forget things. I'm not going to hear things wrong. I'm going to be like in a perfected state. Amen? How awesome will that be? I won't be tempted to sin anymore. That's what we have to look forward to. And I want to help prepare others to look forward to that as well. You know, people that are given over to wickedness and they're following the wrong God, they're following the wrong leader. That's not even on the radar screen yet, oftentimes. That's our place, to make it look like something that they might be interested in, something that they might actually be able to see could be for them. We need to be the ones who go forward telling people and praying for people. You know, that prayer is probably the most important part, don't you think? Do we see here in this scripture, it's a beautiful thing that we see here in Revelation 8, verses 3 through 4. We see that this golden censer is brought forth. There's an angel that's carrying it. And he came and he stood at the altar. He was given much incense. That's the smoke that goes up, okay? When that incense is burnt, it brings up a sweet-smelling aroma, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Did you hear what that word all? I think that that's an important word. So when this angel comes in and he's got this incense censer, it's golden, it's pure, you know, and there's one represented in the Old Testament worship at the temple, and so it was supposed to be a representation of the fact that whenever you pray as a saint before God, it's a beautiful thing to your God in heaven, to your Father. Whenever you pray according to His will, it is being brought to Him as an offering. And in the last, right before, basically, all this destruction breaks loose on earth, God is reminded that His saints from all time have been praying to Him to set things straight. Have been praying to Him. Been praying to Him for the salvation of others. Been praying to Him on all these different levels. How about the prayers of the persecuted saints throughout the ages? Do you think those capture God's ear in a special way? Do you think that He hears those prayers and that's His last reminder here right before He begins to bring this destruction of fire on the earth? It's like this precious thing to Him, that the reason why He's doing this is to bring about this new heavens and this new earth where righteousness dwells, that He's preparing for His people. Praise God. He is being reminded of the beauty and the essence of the prayers of His people throughout all generations. The smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. And I'm going to tell you something. I think verses 5 and 6 show us that our prayers have been what God has been hearing and has been holding everything together at this point as well. Until that day, whenever He says, that's it is time, those prayers are like an offering, like an intercessory offering to Him. And what we see next is that same censer that carried the prayers is also going to carry that first fire to the cleansing of the earth. Because what we see in verses 5 and 6, then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. You may think, you know, I'll do everything else, and then when all that fails, I'll pray. Let's turn it around and go the other way with it. Let's pray first, amen? Because this is the part that's eternal. This is the part that really matters. And then let's do as the Lord leads us. Because you see here, it comes right back to that. Those prayers are holding everything up and encouraging God to be patient until that time whenever He says, it's time. He takes that same censer. He has it filled with this fire. And then it's thrown to the earth. And with it come these noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. We look at one more, just an Old Testament reference that I think just directly connects with this. Is from Joel chapter 2, verses 30 through 32. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Beloved, if you're here and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are the remnant whom the Lord has called in this day and in this generation. And we have a call to take this beautiful gospel to all the nations. Do whatever we can just to give the information to people so that they can decide. Do they want to be among those who are going, that this new heavens and new earth is being prepared for? Or are they going to be among the ones who are going to be destroyed? That calling is here for all of us as well. If you've not yet received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're feeling convicted over your sin, I would encourage you, give your life to Jesus today. Repent of your sin. Tell him that you are sorry for your sin and you realize that it separates you from him, and that if you believe that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sin, to pay for your sins, ask him to be your Lord today. I can tell you, we don't know what day that first trumpet is gonna sound. That puts us into this time whenever we're going to begin to see this picture unfold. But what I do know is we need to be prepared. We need to be not only prepared for ourselves, but we need to be preparing others. Do you want to see your family there? Do you want to see those around you there? Do you want to see your neighbors there? Do you want to see all of these poor, confused people there? Or would we rather just see them cast into hell? I get it. They're upsetting our world, right? They're making our world an uncomfortable place to live sometimes. But guys, I can tell you the only difference between me and them is that I know Jesus and they don't. Before I came to know Jesus, I wasn't really any different. It's the fact that Jesus is my Lord and the Holy Spirit lives in me that makes me any different today. Let's pray for them. Let's help prepare them. Provided that we know just how terrifying that this is, as Peter said, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that as we look at these terrible events being unfolded, we can see that this is something that will happen in the future. We can see that there's no stopping it from happening, and I'm not even trying. I say, come, Lord Jesus, come. When you're ready, I'm ready. But Lord, until that day, we don't know when that day will be. Help us to keep preparing others for this day. Maybe some of us need to get prepared. Maybe some of us have been holding out. I say, as Paul said, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off for another moment. We don't know how many breaths or how many heartbeats we get. So help us to be a people who are prepared and preparing for that day. Help us, Lord, to remember what kind of a life of godliness that we should be living. Help us to be individually just connected with that thought. There's so many things that can creep into our life to cloud our lives. Get us so busy that we just are not even seeing you. But Lord, help us to keep you ever before us, the very first thing on our minds when we get up in the morning, and the one that we live for throughout the day. Lord, bless us to live every day